And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
And now, broadcasting live from the top floor of the WNSR Broadcasting Compound in the heart of Music City, USA, it's Redneck Nation Radio.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Time for an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
Enough is enough.
They need me to bleed, and I'll bleed for my team.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Hi, this is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators. Keep listening to Predneck Nation, or you will be body checked.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
For another Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right, Predneck Nation is on the air. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. Coming up, the ultimate predator, Mostradamus and Felder, the four horsemen of Predneck Nation. Well, we all ride today on Predneck Nation Radio. Second place, Nashville Predators, with a record of 26-11 and 658 points, sit 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets in the Central Division. Of course, the Winnipeg Jets have played three more games than the Nashville Predators, so three games in hand, 1 point behind St. Louis, 1 point behind the Preds. Dallas, 3 points behind the Preds. Minnesota, Colorado, Chicago round out the Central Division. Every team in the Central Division with a winning record at this time. As a matter of fact, from worst to first in the Central, only separated by 9 points. By the way, worst would be the Chicago Blackhawks. Nashville Predators 14-4-2 at home will host the Arizona Coyotes tonight. The worst team in the Western Conference, the worst team in the NHL after 46 games played. They are 10-28-8. They have a total of 28 points. They are 5-14-5 on the road. They've lost four in a row, and they have a goal differential of minus 56 on the season. Unfortunately for the Nashville Predators, win number 10 for Arizona, and the last win that they got was, in fact, against the Nashville Predators on January the 4th. It was a 3-2 overtime win against these Predators. We all remember what happened that night. Austin Watson took a bad penalty late in the third, and then Cousins, who drew the penalty, scores the tying goal with 2:49 left, and then Fisher scores in the overtime. It gets reviewed twice. All of us thought that it was going to be disallowed on both of those reviews, but it was not. It turned out to be a 3-2 loss in overtime in Arizona. Ellis and Smith scored for the Preds. UC Saros had 22 saves in the contest. It was the worst game of the year for the Nashville Predators. It was the worst loss of the year for the Nashville Predators, and it cannot happen again tonight. This Arizona Coyotes team, since beating the Predators, lost to the New York Rangers in a shootout 2-1, lost to Edmonton 4-2, lost at San Jose 6-5 in overtime, and lost against San Jose 3-2 in a shootout. Arizona finds themselves in overtime or shootouts quite often. You got to be careful of that tonight if you're the Nashville Predators. Don't mess around. It's time to step on this Arizona Coyotes team. You allowed them to get 2 points against you and a victory last time. Tonight at Bridgestone Arena, things need to be very different. After the Coyotes are in Nashville tonight, they'll move on to play against St. Louis this Saturday. A couple of news and information from the Nashville Predators. Victor Arvidsson did practice before the game against Las Vegas, but then was placed on IR just before that game started. Frederick Goudreau called up from Milwaukee of the American Hockey League, and he would go on to get the start against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. A quick update, Ryan Johansson did leave the game against the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the second period, but he did practice yesterday. No word on his availability for tonight against Arizona, but a good sign that he was able to get out there on the ice and practice. And of course, Philip Forsberg still on injured reserve. That means the entire top line of this Nashville Predators team is on injured reserve or has at least been injured in the last game. Very difficult situation. Depth going to be tested, and people need to start stepping up for this Nashville Predators team. Tonight, they'll take on, of course, the Arizona Coyotes, the eighth place or last place team in the Pacific Division. And then Saturday, they'll host the Florida Panthers. Next Tuesday, Tampa Bay comes to town. And then one game road trip off to face the New Jersey Devils in Newark, New Jersey. And then the All-Star break comes for the Nashville Predators. The All-Star break coming at a good time with these injuries. Hopefully, Philip Forsberg able to come back. Victor Arvidsson not too far away. And Ryan Johansson practiced yesterday. We'd love to see him back on the ice as soon as tonight, but that All-Star break could be coming at a very, very good time for this Nashville Predators team. Again, Preds need to step on the Arizona Coyotes tonight, and they need to redeem themselves for that awful loss on the road in the desert. Now, last time these two teams played, the game before, the Predators had played the Las Vegas Golden Knights and had been humbled before getting embarrassed by the Coyotes. This time, the Nashville Predators would be hosting the Las Vegas Golden Knights before hosting the Arizona Coyotes. And let's talk about it. We saw some very different lines due to the injury situation. We saw Ryan Johansson start the game on the first line with Colton Sissons and Kelly Yarncroke as his wingers. Fiala, Turris, and Smith still skating together. Bonino centered the third line with Hartnell and Aberg. Freddie Goudreau, freshly called up, gets the spot between Mika Salamaki and Austin Watson. Actually really like the makeup of that fourth line right there. Ekholm and Ellis, Subban and Emelin, Josi and Irwin. This is your sets of defensive pairings. Very interesting there. We haven't seen a matchup like this all season long, so we'll see how these D pairs continue to be adjusted, continue to be moved around until Peter Laviolette and the coaching staff are 100% happy with the six. Don't forget, carrying eight defensemen still at this time. Let's get into this game against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Third matchup of the season between the Preds and the Golden Knights. And the Predators, of course, had lost in a shootout and lost in regulation. And now third and final meeting of the regular season between these two franchises in the inaugural season for the Las Vegas hockey franchise. 3:54 into the first period, UC Saros, really strong save on Brad Hunt. That's right, Brad Hunt from the top of the circle, and UC Saros got the start. There was some discussion and some debate about this. Pekarinen coming off the bye week well-rested. Well, UC Saros had a working bye week. He went down to the AHL, got three starts, played quite well, kept that save percentage up where it's been for the last several starts that he's had. So UC Saros, fresh off his recall from Milwaukee, got the start and starts the game off by making a nice save there on Brad Hunt. Just about a minute and a half later, Fleury makes a big save on Craig Smith off a rebound from a point shot, and these two teams are getting after each other. Transition hockey, quick hockey, fast pace to the game early on. 6:30 into the first, Matthias Ekholm sets up Mika Salamaki with a pass across the crease. Ekholm was flying all over the ice early in the game, and he corralled a loose puck and makes a nice pass across the crease. Unfortunately, Salamaki can't corral the puck, and the shot goes off the side of the net by the time he has a chance to get a shot off. Strong pace and transition hockey. More Vegas style than Nashville, but the Predators are hanging in there. 12:45 into the first, Marc-Andre Fleury makes a big-time blocker save on Sissons from the top of the crease. It was the best chance of the game at this point in time. Sissons making the most of his time up there on the first line with Ryan Johansson and Kelly Yarncroke. 13:27 into the first, Emelin goes to the box, 2 minutes for interference. UC Saros very strong on the PK. Vegas controlled the puck almost their entire power play, but the Preds are able to hold on. 18:25 into the first, James Neal goes to the box, 2 minutes for slashing. Preds generate two shots on goal, and it's the first shot in over 10 minutes for the Nashville Predators. Vegas at the end of the first period out shooting the Preds 15-8. We go into the second period, and we start off with UC Saros again making a big save early in the period. A left pad save on Marchessault, redirect from the top of the crease, and UC Saros was dialed in and looking good. 3:10 into the second, Mika Salamaki has a good scoring chance. He's got some nice jam in his game right there, and he's going to the net hard, and I appreciate that part of his game. Preds back-to-back strong shifts at this point in the second. Fiala, Turris, and Smith really generating some offensive chances, helped and supported by Ekholm and Ellis, who also were contributing on the offensive part of things on this shift. 5:54 into the second, McNabb goes to the box. 2 minutes for interference. You can see that the Preds were working very hard. The Preds generated 5 shots on goal during this power play, but Marc-Andre Fleury was just incredibly strong and made another big-time save on Colton Sissons. The Preds have 10 shots on goal in the first 10 minutes of the second period after only having 8 combined and total in the first period. 11:41 into the second, Sissons goes to the box, 2 minutes for slashing. UC Soros has to make a huge save. There's a scramble that would see every single one of the Nashville Predators down on the ice in the blue paint, trying to keep the puck out of the net. The puck stays out of the net. Watson makes a diving clear to break things up and give the Preds a little bit of diving room. How did that puck stay out of the net? Well, Watson didn't just get the clear to get the Predators some breathing room. Austin Watson was the last line of defense behind UC Soros, behind the scrum, very alert, very aware, standing on the goal line as the puck squeaks through Soros and is headed towards the goal line, as casual as can be. Austin Watson stops the puck with his skate and kicks the puck back out of there. Great job by Austin Watson, UC Soros, and the entire Nashville Predators penalty kill team. This was a very difficult time of the game and a big time scramble right there in the crease. Every Predator giving everything they had to stop the Vegas Golden Knights from getting on the board. Soros makes another huge save on James Neal just after the penalty kill happens. 16:23 into the second, Sissons goes back to the box, 2 minutes for hooking, and you can see the look on his face. He was very frustrated by this call. The penalty kill was stronger than before. Soros good when he was needed, but nothing like what Vegas was able to generate on their previous power play. 19:25 into the second. Carrier hits Johansson, shoulder to the chin. Johansson had to be helped off the ice by the trainers. Peter Laviolette blows a gasket at this point in time, and it's understandable why. Once you see the hit, it was clear that Johansson was caught in a vulnerable position. He was coming off of a check of James Neal. This was in the neutral zone, right along the boards, right about the red line. As Johansson is wheeling off of the hit of James Neal, he has his head down and he gets caught, and Carrier absolutely buries him. He lined him up and he came from all the way across the ice to make this hit. I think it should have been a penalty right then and there on the ice. Ryan Johansson has to be helped off by trainers. He looked wobbly, and I think that's about the best word you can say for it. He definitely looked like he was feeling that hit. He would not return in the third period, and there's more we'll discuss about this hit coming up with Mastrodamus and with Felder. At the end of the second period, even with the Preds generating those 10 shots in the first part of the period, they would have another drought later in the second and only end up with 19 shots on goal total after two. Vegas has 29. Moving into the third period, and you know UC Soros, he's been the storyline this entire game. Well, he's right there to get the third period kicked off with another big-time blocker save, this time on James Neal. The real deal was looking to get one, and he was playing physical, and he was playing strong in the offensive zone all night. UC Soros, a big-time save right there. About a minute 15 seconds later, Marc-Andre Fleury with a save on Sissons. Colton Sissons all over the ice tonight. An absolute great effort for him being on the first line. A poke check with the two-pad stack by Marc-Andre Fleury. Kind of a throwback classic save style. You don't see that very often anymore. He gets the job done. 8 minutes into the third, Kevin Fiala gets his 11th goal of the season. PK Subban with a point shot. It hits the defenseman in front, ricochets over to Fiala, and Fiala absolutely roofs it just under the crossbar. As a matter of fact, it was so good of a shot in and out, they weren't even sure that it had gone in at first, but upon quick review, it was definitely in the net. The Nashville Predators have a 1-0 lead on Kevin Fiala's 11th goal of the season, and great to see Fiala break that goal-scoring drought and get on the board and give the Preds the lead. 11:05 into the third, UC Soros save on Marchessault, crashing the crease. It was just a nice give and go that set up a scoring chance, and Soros strong, tracking the puck well and understanding exactly where it was going to be coming from, and he steps up again and makes another big time save. Just a little bit after that, Fiala hits the crossbar, feeling it now, looking good, and he was also skating very good. 15:40 into the third period, Nick Bonino goes to the box, 2 2 minutes for holding. Kyle Turris during this penalty kill has a broken stick. Cali Yarncroke with a big-time effort to get a clear. And UC Saros makes 2 saves total as the Preds are able to survive this bad penalty by Nick Bonino in the third period. 2 minutes remaining. Las Vegas pulls their goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury, and we have an entire series of icings. I'll just give you the times. 128, 110, 103, and 25 seconds remaining. All icings on the Nashville Predators. Preds are unable to get any of their players off of the ice. As a matter of fact, what might have been the best benefit to them getting a rest was at one point the referees went to review to see who was on the ice and then spent a lot of time discussing it with the coaches and figuring out exactly who and the what and the where and the why, and then finally getting guys on the ice. It was effectively a lengthy stoppage and timeout. Vegas also called their timeout during this entire process, but 4 icings in the final minute and a half of this game for the Nashville Predators. You talk about just bleeding the clock. Vegas was able to get a couple of shots, but not able to generate anything too significant. Nashville finishes the game off with a 1-0 victory over Vegas. Season series 1-1-1 for Nashville. Shots on goal for the game, 27 for Nashville, 43 for Las Vegas. That means UC Saros, a 43-save shutout, his third of the season, and he is absolutely on fire as of late. Whatever doubts we had about UC Saros early in the season, clearly going down to Milwaukee and getting a bunch of playing time has helped him considerably. He comes back not rested, not rusted, ready to go, and he gets the start in kind of a surprise fashion against the Las Vegas Golden Knights and comes out of there with a 43-save shutout. He was tested, he was strong, and he was able to keep the puck out of the net at all times, even with a little help from his friend Austin Watson there, who kept that one puck out off the goal line with his skate. Incredible effort by the Nashville Predators. Down a couple of top-line players. Johansson not in there for the third period. Backup goaltender on the ice. One of the best teams in the NHL coming to your arena, and you've had tough luck against them this year. That is a big-time win. That is a gritty, grinding Nashville Predators-style victory. What I need to see tonight, though, is the Preds get out there and do the same thing, except do it even better than they did the other night against Las Vegas. They'll be facing the Arizona Coyotes tonight at Bridgestone Arena, and the Ultimate Predator, he's got some words for the Coyotes.
Okay, listen, Predneg Nation. This is how it goes. You see, Arizona was able to pull one over on us in the last game. But tonight, tonight they got us at home. They got us in front of Smashville, 17,500 strong, as we all stand and chant as one. You see, vengeance is a dish. Revenge is a dish they say is best served cold. And there's nothing colder than Smashville in January. So tonight, Smashville, with me and 17,000 of my closest friends, we're gonna stand up, we're gonna unite as one, we're gonna remind Arizona their place in the NHL. And that place is dead frickin' last. Okay, look, they got us in one lucky game in Arizona. But tonight, they come home. So I need my Predaholics to stand up. I need my Predaholics to be loud. Yes, they're the worst team in the NHL, but that doesn't mean we take the night off. We've got to stand up. With a couple of key losses on the front line, we have got to stand up, and we have got to be loud, and we have got to be proud. So what I want tonight, Smashville, is for 17,500 of the loudest voices I can possibly hear as we project our hatred, our need, our desire to be Stanley Cup champions on another speed bump that is Arizona. Stand loud, stand proud, and remember, vengeance and revenge is a dish best served cold. And that, my friends, is the bottom line, because the Ultimate Predator said so.
Hi, this
this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Nashville Sports Original, Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio, 560 AM, 95.9 FM. Don't forget, podcast now can be found on iTunes along with all Nashville Sports Radio programming, so make sure you check that out. Check out the website, PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. And give some support here to this fine radio station that partners with us, or at least has yet to change the alarm code and still lets us in on a daily basis. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey, he is the head writer of PredneckNation.com. He's also the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. Make sure if you didn't check it out, you go back and look at his midseason report card and check out his grades. We talked about it quite a bit the other morning on Predneck Nation Radio. So now we'll go back and review everything that happened in the Vegas Golden Knights game, and we'll talk about what's going to happen tonight with the Phoenix Coyotes, or the Arizona Coyotes, or whatever the hell kind of Coyotes they are. Mastrodamus is on the line with me on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Saros, 43 of 43. Rest versus rust did not matter as far as the argument was concerned. He had a working bye week. He went down to Milwaukee, got three starts in, put up a hell of a save percentage, and now gets his third shutout of the season. Now save percentage on the season is up to 930, and he was busy this entire game, Greg. 15 in the first, 15 in the second, 13 in the third. That's good for 43 saves on the night against one of the best teams in the NHL.
Simply remarkable job by Saros, and he got better as the game went on. Early on in the game, I was a little bit concerned because he was making the saves, but he was leaving a lot of rebounds out there that defense had to cover up for him. As the game went on, he was more comfortable out there, and the biggest part about those 43 saves, 15 of them on the penalty kill. So those are generally higher danger scoring chances, and he was up to the task. I mean, some of the saves that he made, the redirections in front of the net, the one timer on James Neal. James Neal had another one point-blank range from about 5 feet away, stopped him there as well in the first period. He was just absolutely everywhere and totally comfortable in net. Just a fantastic job by him at 22 years old to be playing the way he is right now.
And you mentioned the penalty kill for the Nashville Predators. It was outstanding. When it did break down, UC Saros was there to bail them out. Austin Watson, just incredible on the penalty kill, always with the sacrifice. Three hits in the game, one block shot, a total of 5 minutes shorthanded out there on the ice, Greg. More than a third of his total time for the game played on the penalty kill. Sacrifice, hustle, all of those things you come to expect. Austin Watson just out there giving the Preds everything he's got.
Doing everything he can to contribute to the team. Yes, he's probably not going to get too many goals this season, but he goes out there, he kills penalties, he's physical, he takes care of business, and as a forward to go back there on that play that he kicks the puck off the goal line, as a forward to be in that deep, recognizing that our goaltender's in trouble, there's a scramble in front of him, he gets back there, gets behind Saros to ensure that puck does not cross the line, sweeps it out the first time with a stick, it bounces back, and again, being tied up with other players, has the presence of mind to sweep that leg out and get that puck off the goal line and prevent the Golden Knights from getting the 1-0 lead at that point.
At that point on the penalty kill, every single Nashville Predator was in the blue paint trying to help in that scrum and that scramble. Austin Watson, the last line of defense, absolutely bails the team out. And you mentioned Colton Sissons as well. He had an assist in this game, three shots on goal, got an opportunity up there on the first line, picked up two minor penalties. You could tell he was a little frustrated with that in this game. That was the low point for him, but overall some very good scoring chances in front. Marc-Andre Fleury, as a matter of fact, probably robbed Sissons twice right on the doorstep. Also the only Predator on the team the other night that was over 50% in faceoffs. He went 7-5 and averaged or was just over 20 minutes in total time on ice. I thought Colton Sissons did a good job for moving up and playing on the first line.
Yes, he had those penalty minutes. The fact he had 20 minutes on the ice despite having 4 minutes of penality time tells you how well he was playing. A lot of people kept putting him out there. Obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury absolutely robs him on that one timer. Nice little tip pass by Yarncroke to set that up in the first period or across the crease, and somehow Fleury got his blocker on it. But Sissons played a strong game, had no complaints with him being on that top line. Now, of course, top line, Ryan Johansson, he was out there skating. Time will tell whether or not morning skates happen and see if Johansson gets back out there tonight. I would seriously doubt it, but we'll see what happens.
Greg, this season series is over between these two teams. First season for the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL. Of course, we all know how well they are doing in the Pacific Division. They are still sitting first place in the Pacific. The Preds went 1-1-1. It was a shootout loss at home. It was a shutout victory for Vegas in Vegas, and the Predators with a shutout victory here in Nashville, 1-0 the other night. Heck of a season series between these two teams. They really got after each other. A lot of pace, a lot of transition hockey. I see a potential playoff matchup between these two teams down the road.
Would it not be great to see a Western Conference final between these two teams? A lot of speed, a lot of talent, and back and forth action that was anything but boring. Looking at a 1-0 game the other night, was there any point in that game where that game was boring? It was something was always happening on the ice, whether it was a power play scrambling in front of the net, big saves, the goal by Kevin Fiala on a rebound, which a little bit fluky. Honestly, got a good bounce off a skate, went right to his stick, and was able to roof that one into the net. But everything about these games against Vegas have been exciting up and down the ice.
It's been a lot of fun to watch. Arizona in town tonight, and the Preds had probably their worst defeat of the season in Arizona. We saw Austin Watson take a bad penalty late in the third. The same guy who drew that penalty was able to score a goal and tie the thing up before a goal in overtime that had to be reviewed approximately 17 times and somehow was still called a good goal at the end. Greg, it's simple. For the Nashville Predators, they're playing the worst team in the NHL tonight, and they need to step all over this Coyotes team.
They need to, and it's going to have to be one of those team efforts because obviously the top line is not going to be available tonight. So a lot of youth on this Arizona team. They're getting over another shootout loss to San Jose. So they've home and home with San Jose, both overtime losses, four losses in a row for them on the road in Nashville. Nashville cannot take their foot off the gas. Big win against Vegas, an emotional win against Vegas, especially with what happened to Johansson. But this team needs to continue to be strong on the puck, forecheck, and put pressure on this young Arizona team. Keep pressuring them, and that will lead to turnovers and get some scoring chances for some of the other guys on the roster. Sisson stepped up, Fiala stepped up. Other guys need to get in there, get on the scoring sheet. Aberg, I'm looking at you. Get on the score sheet, brother, because you're not going to be here very much longer if you keep that up.
For the Arizona Coyotes, they've made a trade since the last time these two teams have played, and one of the players that was easily the best performer on the ice for Arizona against the Preds, Anthony Duclair, now part of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. So the Arizona Coyotes have already started moving out talented pieces, and they're actually worse than they were the last time this Predators team played them. Preds gave them their 10th win of the season and gave them two of their 28 points. I do not want to see any more points going, by the way, to Arizona by through Nashville. So Mastrodamus will be following along on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, and of course we'll be tracking your work at PredNeckNation.com.
Charlie, anytime. We'll talk to you on Saturday.
Mastrodamus right there. He's so far ahead in the future. He just told you everything that's going to happen in tonight's Nashville Predators versus Arizona Coyotes game. Felder's coming up next. We'll talk to him about Ryan Johansson, the potential for a new first line for the next couple of games, and a lot of other things coming up next. Predneck Nation Radio right here. Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
This is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Nashville Sports Original, Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can always check out that website, PredneckNation.com. Miranda Martin also back with another Tales from the Preds Mobile column, and she is talking about all things happening on the hockey streets out there as she interacts and talks to each and every one of you out there as she drives the Lyft Predsmobile all over the 615, taking people downtown to Smashville and enjoying Preds hockey. We'll talk to Brandon Felder now, another contributing member of PredneckNation.com. You can hear him all season long right here on Predneck Nation Radio. He is my tether to hockey sanity on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. How are you doing today, Brandon?
I'm doing great now that hockey's back in our normal routine of the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday swing.
It does feel good, and let's get right into it. Preds with a big victory the other night over the Las Vegas Golden Knights, 1-0. A particular play I want to get your opinion on, though, immediately, and that's at the end of the second period. Ryan Johansson is peeling off of a hit in the neutral zone along the wall on James Neal. Before he can even lift his head up, there's Carrier, who puts a shoulder right into his chin. Ryan Johansson goes down, has to be helped off the ice by the training staff, does not return, and looked wobbly would be about the nicest way I can put it. Brandon, this hit to me looked like it should have been called a penalty. No penalty on the ice, and I really don't care about anything that happens afterwards because that's not going to help Ryan Johansson or the Nashville Predators. Talk to me about what you saw and what you think should have happened.
Well, I think it's pretty evident there was contact to the head. And so here we are once again with the NHL, and they have these, let's just call them waffling standards when it comes to what they do and do not punish. And so here's my example for everybody to kind of think of at home. Okay, if it's college football or if it's the NFL and there's contact to the head, there's a penalty, no matter what, pretty much. Now, admittedly, they look to see if there's intent. And then if there is intent, they'll eject players in college football. But at the end of the day, there's always a penalty with contact of the head. Why is that? Because they're trying to protect players from CTE and other things of concussion symptoms. Okay, so now the NHL, who also comes out and says, oh, yes, we want to protect our players with any type of contact to the head. Well, then if the referee watches the play, but he doesn't feel like it was intent, there's no penalty. Well, why should that matter? What does it matter if there's intent or not? If there's contact to the head, it should be a penalty. You've got to get this stuff out of the game to protect these players, and they're not doing it. And it's just one day it is a penalty, and the next day it's not a penalty, and it just depends on which refereeing crew is there and which one is one of the old boys who says, oh, that's just a good old hockey play, which one's one of the newer guys that says, well, this is what we're supposed to crack down on. And that's the problem with what's going on with the NHL Department of Player Safety. That sometimes they care about player safety, and other times they don't really care as much. Just depends on how high profile the hit was. And so, unfortunately, in this case, I don't think there was intent to hit Ryan Johansson in the head, but it doesn't matter. It should be a penalty, and it should be a suspension, because if you don't do that, you're never going to send the message that you want this kind of stuff out of the game. It's as simple as that. Do you want it out of the game or not? Because right now, it doesn't look like you truly do.
No, and that hit just plain as day to me, and the more times you see it, and I know slowed down in slow-mo, everything more obvious, but it was clear that the player Carrier came across the ice, lined up Johansson, and like you said, if not intentional, it certainly was contact with shoulder pad to chin, and that is a headshot, and that's something they are trying to get out of the game, or at least that's what they say they're trying to get out of the game. Now, Ryan Johansson was able to practice Wednesday. No indication on whether he is going to be available for the game tonight. That means, Brandon, at this point in time, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, all with injuries, all possibly out of the lineup tonight, two for sure. What does this mean for the Nashville Predators? Is it as simple as moving Turris Fiala-Smith up to the first line and then just letting the depth fill in behind? Talk to me about your strategy for the Preds in these next couple of games.
Well, it's all about simplifying, because you know that when you're in situations that you're not necessarily comfortable with line matchups or with amounts of time on ice, you just have to find a way to get your game a little bit more simple, make things easier on the players to just funnel pucks to the net, go try and get rebounds, things of that nature. Yes, you're going to see plenty of Turris, Fiala, Smith. There's still guys that are generating chances. We saw a great goal from Fiala in the 1-0 victory over Vegas. But at the end of the day, you also look at the schedule and you go, okay, tonight's not a bad night to have to play Arizona. Now, that being said, they didn't do so well the last time they saw Arizona. They kind of squandered a point there. So it's an opportunity to wake the guys up a little bit and challenge them and say, look, some of you guys are going to be in roles that you're not used to, having a little bit more minutes. But at the end of the day, these are all professional athletes that have played plenty of time on previous teams and just might not be at this particular level. So things are going to be fine with that. It's just a matter of getting back into that rhythm. And I think by the end of the Vegas game, we saw the Predators were in the rhythm that they needed to be, that made them look like, okay, yep, we, even though we've had a week off, we're back into this whole hockey thing.
Craig Smith, of course, has continued to be hot all throughout. The rest of the line has kind of cooled, but we saw Kevin Fiala, as you mentioned, gets the goal the other night. Nice benefit of a puck bounce over to him, but you still got to finish, and he did a great job of putting that thing under the crossbar. Ends up not only being his first goal in some time, but a game winner. Hits the crossbar a little bit later, has three shots on goal in the game overall in 16:39 of time on ice. That drought is broken, and that's great news for the Nashville Predators and their fans.
Biggest thing is just being able to consistently shoot. And that's kind of the theme this year, actually, not just for Kevin Fiala, but for the entire Nashville Predators, is putting pucks on net. I mean, we discussed a few weeks ago about the whole woes of first period shots on goal, and that trend hasn't exactly changed. So we're still waiting to see this team come out and just, you know, light teams up a little bit here. And at least, you know, my standard is you got to at least have 10 shots on goal per period, and at least 30 shots per game, especially with a team with this much talent, with a blue line that's willing to put the pucks on the net. And that Fiala goal all started with a PK Subban shot on goal and the rebound kicked out to him. So that's the biggest thing here is, you know, Fiala at the beginning of the season, for whatever reason, not a lot of confidence, didn't shoot the puck a lot. Kyle Turris comes along, maybe spoke some nice words to the kid, confidence shoots up, but shooting the puck more, and boom, goals start going in more for him and for Craig Smith. So, I mean, it's so simple, but we talk about it all the time. It's as simple as put pucks on net.
You mentioned PK Subban. He was trying to put the puck on the net, but it goes off of a defenseman's skate right over to Kevin Fiala. That's an easy assist for PK Subban, but overall, skating the puck very well, playing good hockey. He ended up with three shots on goal in that game, two block shots, played over 24 minutes. And any time a team gets a shutout, even though there was a lot of shot volume going against the Predators, the defense deserves some credit. And I thought PK Subban had a pretty strong game.
Strong season. I don't know why we're not hearing at least a little bit of buzz as for him as a potential candidate for a Norris Trophy. He's second in the league as defenseman with goals with nine. He's playing both sides of the ice very well. Yes, everybody's going to say, but he has that moment per game where he makes a bad turnover. Yep, but we've talked about this before. You want the high reward, there's going to be some risk involved, and I think the Predators are pretty much willing to stomach that risk. At the end of the day, he makes plays more than he does not, and that was just another example of that, of him constantly trying to generate offense. I thought his edge work was really good the other night. He was very strong with the puck, keeping the puck away from others. Something I've noticed within their three-game series is he really particularly likes to go at it with James Neal, and I caught him jawing with James Neal before and line change a couple of times in the game the other night. So for whatever reason, he gets motivated for that potential matchup. And just overall, his game right now is superb. And it's a shame that for whatever reason, the national media has forgotten about PK Subban and how great he is.
He's 1 point from being tied for the lead in scoring for this team this season. He's also six goals away from a career high. 15 is his current career high. 60 points is his current career high. He has 33. He could be easily heading for career highs in all of his offensive categories. Health is going to be a factor there, but so far that has not been an issue throughout this season. Let me talk to you about one more player. Kelly Yarncroke got an opportunity, and we all know he can do anything you ask him. One of the smartest guys out there on the ice. In 18 minutes of time on ice plus 2 minutes on each of the special teams unit, he comes away with a block shot, a hit, a takeaway, a couple shots on goal, and I thought played very well and represented himself good on the top line with his opportunity.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty good. You know, he's one of those guys that until he scores, I just sometimes don't really notice him, to be honest. And that's not a negative thing, because that's not really his role to be flashy. He does the things that you ask him to do, and then every now and then he does score a really nice goal. But I thought he did a really good job, and I also thought Colton Sisson did an incredible job in that Vegas game. A little bit snaked it there, couldn't find a way to get one past Fleury, but all in all, he had some incredible chances and was really skating well. So those are the type of role players, though, that need to step their game up. You're looking for guys like Yarncroke and Sissons, and then a guy like Scott Hartnell or, you know, Nick Bonino. These are the guys that are going to have to find a way to chip in when you have this many injuries that are currently plaguing your team. And, look, the reality is, at least you know, you never want this many injuries, but you'd rather have them now than in the playoffs. And so the Predators will find a way to work through this and get the players back. And in the meantime, these role players have chances to shine and step up and make themselves more noticeable sometimes than they usually are.
Brandon, the coaching staff shifted the D pairs again the other night and carrying 8D, trying to find the right combination and who exactly is going to work together. But for the first time ever, we saw something pretty unique there with Josi paired up with Matt Irwin. We saw Ekholm and Ellis, who were a pair for quite a while together back some time ago. Subban and Emelin, of course, have had some success together this year. They were back together in this game. But interesting deployment of the D pairs. And it's just a matter of this coaching staff is just going to keep tinkering until they find the six that they're happiest with.
Well, I think they're really just trying to figure out what gives them the most balance. I think we saw last year in the playoffs where the third pair got feasted upon, especially against the Pittsburgh Penguins, that anytime the third pair went out there, the Penguins sent out their first line to try and generate scoring opportunities, and it worked. And so I think really the biggest thing is the coaching staff wants to find that balance so that when they go into the playoffs, they'll know, okay, these are the three pairs I can rely upon. I can always shake it up if I want to based on matchups, based on last change. But at the end of the day, when I don't have last change and I've got to put something out there and I want that balance across all three pairs, what can I do? So I really think that's what they're trying to figure out and nail down before they get too far into the stretch. And that way, each pair has some chemistry, has some practice, has some knowledge of what it feels like in a game-time situation to be together.
On Twitter, at Brandon_Felder, contributing member of PredneckNation.com. And, of course, you can hear him all season long right here on Predneck Nation Radio. This guy's been covering Nashville Predators hockey on the radio longer than anybody else has. Great opinions, knowledge, wisdom, information, all that stuff. Brandon, sure to appreciate talking Predators hockey with you.
Thanks, as always, Charlie, for an opportunity to speak with you and Predneck Nation. And everybody, enjoy your hockey tonight. Should be a great opportunity to see some of these role players step up and shine bright.
Outstanding. Felder, Mastrodamus, the ultimate Predator, all bringing it strong, all bringing you top-notch information, analysis, and opinions. That's the way we do it here at Predneck Nation Radio. Again, don't forget, you can check out PredneckNation.com. You can also give us a like on Facebook and follow us along on Twitter at Predneck Nation. And remember, it's never too cold for ice cream.